Can't you see it? A glistening 100-megawatt solar field begging to be built? It's photovoltaic modules and balance of system powering a renewable energy tomorrow that's squeaky clean? We know that unless you have the right supplier, that world might just be a fantasy. But here at Graybar, with years of renewables experience, we live in that world. Get in touch to see for yourself.
We are now ready to depart.
Book your visit at graybar.com. Yep, Graybar does that.
Oh, it's such a clutch off-season pickup, Dave.
I know, right? I was worried we'd bring back the same team.
Oh, no, I meant those blackout motorized shades. MVP of the room.
Blinds.com made it crazy affordable to replace our old blinds.
Hard to install?
No, it's easy. Even you could do it.
Nice.
I installed these and then got some for my mom, too.
But you fly across the country to do the install?
Nope. Blinds.com can do it all. All she had to do was pick what she wanted. She talked to a design consultant for free and scheduled a professional measure and install.
Look at you, Hall of Fame son.
Oh, I just picked the winning team. They're the number one online retailer of custom window coverings in the world.
Oh, Blinds.com is the GOAT.
The GOAT.
Shop Blinds.com right now and get up to 40% off select styles, plus a free professional measure and a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Save up to 40% at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
Do you believe you were wrongfully terminated for speaking up against your employer? Wilshire Law Firm isn't afraid to go up against corporate giants and will protect you every step of the way. Get justice and feel safe. Call the experts at Wilshire Law Firm at 1-800-800-3333.
How much of a say is Kevin Stefanski going to have in who that quarterback is?
Yeah, based off our previous conversations, I'm very interested to find out what kind of say you want for Stefanski. I think it's got to be more say than he's ever had in any decision when it comes to the quarterback. Because if he doesn't get it right, then I need to be able to put it all at the feet of Stefanski and say, this is the guy you chose, this is the system you wanted to run, and now you got to be responsible for it.
Are you doing this under the guise that he's not had a significant stake in who his last two quarterbacks have been?
Yeah, I'm doing it under the guise that when it came to Baker, we know who made that decision. That was not Kevin Stefanski. That was John Dorsey. And when it came to Deshaun Watson, I guess we'll never truly know how much of a say he had in it, but I don't think he was the one pulling the strings there.
Yeah, I mean, I think just because he didn't select Baker doesn't mean he didn't have a say in Baker not being here.
I mean, it was John Dorsey. It was Scott McLuhan.
No, like
it was
Baker not being here.
Oh, well, yeah. Well, oh, for sure. Yeah, for sure. But that was an arranged marriage in many respects.
Yeah, but that doesn't absolve Kevin of his role
But I'm not saying it does. I'm saying this next one, I want to be able to put something solely at the feet of his. At the feet of him. Like, if I think he's as good as I think he is, then I want to make no mistake about it. I don't want to, at the end of this, say they made a trade for J.J. McCarthy, but that was Andrew Berry who loved J.J. McCarthy. And again, you're trying to fit a square peg into a round hole. No. I want to, if you really truly, the reason why Stefanski is here is because he's supposed to be a great offensive play caller and he's supposed to be great with these quarterbacks, then I want to give him the quarterback that he feels like he has the best advantage to get this thing headed in the right direction.
What has given you the indication that he can make that pick?
It's just the idea that in the previous 5 years or so, when we've seen him be with quarterbacks, I think he's done a good job overall. I know you don't agree with that. That's fine. We've disagreed on Stefanski for a while.
No. I just think it's overstated. I think one thing's understated. I think the overstated thing is how much he's gotten out of the quarterbacks he's had here. I think Joe Flacco might be the only guy that I can say got more out of that guy here in this context than in the other recent spots. Jacoby, the stats look identical to what he did in Indianapolis his one season as starter. Baker's been better in Tampa than he has been here. Who am I missing? Jameis has been worse here than he was in New Orleans. In fairness, it's at the end of a lost season. I'll give him that caveat.
And we've debated certain aspects of all of this. We've debated parts of the Jacoby thing before.
I think
we've
overstated things. So the overstated thing is how often how much he's gotten out of the quarterbacks he's had here. Oh, by the way, Deshaun's been an abject failure. Not that that's all or even most of Kevin's fault. The understated thing is how much say he's actually had in the quarterbacks he's had here. I refuse to believe that Kevin Stefanski as the head coach didn't have significant say in moving on from Baker. I refuse to say if Kevin Stefanski had said Deshaun Watson doesn't fit my system, I don't think he'll be good enough, Deshaun Watson wouldn't have been here. So even if Kevin has gone
I don't know about that. We disagree on that, but that's fine.
But what are you basing it off of?
What are you basing yours off of?
The fact that he's the head coach of an NFL franchise.
Yeah, there's a lot of people that made that call. Like, Jimmy Haslam has the final say in all of that.
This is the only guy with literally no power. He is the head coaching version of Paul DePodesta.
With some franchise, it does work that way. Eberflus had no power in Chicago. Like, in certain spots, it does work that way.
Yeah, but I think Eberflus didn't have a playoff win in Pittsburgh after the first year with the old quarterback.
There's a whole chain of command in different spots.
Yeah, I think we're giving Kevin an out on that. And again, my point is not...
Even if we want to give him a pass and we want to give him the out and whatever, that's fine. I'm trying to put the responsibility and the onus on him now. I'm trying to find out, push everything else to the side. If we say, you like J.J. McCarthy and that's the guy you want, then we can say, okay, at the end of that, either it worked because he can do something with quarterbacks that he has yet to show us, you know, that he is Kevin O'Connell or Sean McVay, whoever, or it doesn't work, and then you legitimately have as many reasons as you ever want to then fire him. Like, I want answers is what I want, Nick, and I want to be able to go ahead and put this at the feet of Stefanski if it does or doesn't work out.
So let's be honest. It's not necessarily that we want Stefanski to have all the say in who the quarterback's going to be. It's you want them to tell you. Right? Because because they've muddied the waters on who got rid of Baker and who got rid of Deshaun and who decided to just select DTR.
They didn't muddy the waters. It was John Dorsey that selected Baker. We know that.
No, talking about moving on from Baker and then trading for Deshaun.
Yeah, that's been muddy.
Why do you think they're going to do that anyways?
No, they're not going to. Expecting them to. But if you're asking me what I would do, I would put all the onus on him.
But how are we going to know?
That doesn't mean we ever find out. That's just what I would do.
But then how are we going to know? Because I think that's the point.
It's a hypothetical that we're playing with. Like, if I was in charge, what would I do? If I'm Jimmy Haslam, we'll never find out these answers. We'll never find this out. They're never going to go to the podium and say, this is all on Stefanski. But if I'm Jimmy Haslam, that's what I do. I say, Stefanski, it's your call. You're dying your dance for, buddy. You get to choose who you want. You turn him into something great because you keep telling us you're good at this quarterback thing. It'll be your system. It'll be your quarterback. And if it doesn't work, don't let the door hit you where the good word splits you. You're gone.
Yeah, I mean, I think the Stefanski conversation is two parts. Because I think it's who chooses the quarterback, but I also think it's, do you just say, do you want to go back to your old system? Right? And then if he does, you do it. Because I think, I think we've seen with any of these different quarterbacks, like Baker didn't 100% fit the scheme of rhythm passing. He was uncomfortable in that. It worked for a year. It didn't work for another. Then Baker was gone. Deshaun didn't 100% fit the Stefanski offense. They tried to make it work. Okay is as best he ever got. So I think my struggle here is, I think it makes a lot of sense to go back to the offense, even though it felt like kind of a, I don't want to say a half-ass, but it kind of feels like a half-ass move to a spread offense because he never really got to deploy it, and he hired Ken Dorsey as the OC, but I digress. But even then, like, is there a quarterback who one-for-one fits this offense the way it feels like with Shanahan? Like, it felt like from Garoppolo, not necessarily Trey Lance, which is interesting, but from Garoppolo to Purdy, they just did what Shanahan wanted. And that was the number one requisite skill set on why both guys had so much success. Neither of them are the most physically talented quarterbacks. Neither of them are the brainiac quarterbacks. I'm not saying they're dumb, but they're not, you know, they're not in any way complete quarterbacks, but it was just do what Kyle says. Which does open the door up for Kirk Cousins, because I think that's why Kirk has thrived and why coaches like McVay and Shanahan love him.
Right.
But so I think that's it's a catch-22 for me of, well, all right, I'm totally cool. Yeah, Kev, you want to go run your offense? Go run your offense. Is he going to try and shoehorn a quarterback that doesn't fit his system, though? Because he's done that a few times.
We know Kirk Cousins would. In many respects, we know Kirk Cousins would, but I know you don't like Kirk Cousins. That's why, and that's fine. We have injuries. We have all sorts of things we can talk about Kirk Cousins. But that's why I like J.J. McCarthy a lot.
So real quick on the, because we can get to the J.J. McCarthy thing, because I think it's an interesting conversation. It's not that I don't like Kirk. I just wish we'd all understand and just realize here. Because I think we're all talking about this like, man, what a salient plan. No, this is desperate.
Kirk Cousins is not a good plan.
This is 100% a Hail Mary.
What you're dealing with in every aspect of this.
It's not that I don't like Kirk Cousins. I understand the value of it. I just can't say right now I think definitively it's going to work out.
The comp for J.J. McCarthy coming out of the draft was a more athletic Kirk Cousins.
Mm-hmm.
He can play in a Stefanski system. In fact, I can make an argument it would be perfect for a Stefanski system. Like, I love the idea of J.J. McCarthy.
Yeah, I mean, I guess price is dependent. You're going to have for a sure. top three pick.
We don't even know if Minnesota would even be interested in entertaining an offer there. They might franchise tag Darnold and make sure that Darnold can do it one more season while keeping J.J. before they make a move. Or they might realize that they need a lot of assets right now and take advantage of the way that we're talking.
Yeah, I mean, or they might just keep them both. You know, keep
them
both.
That's what I said.
Yeah. Okay, I got you. McCarthy's interesting. Like, it's tough because it's a better plan to me than forcing Cam or Shador.
No, I think JJ makes the most sense for Stefanski.
I'm just trying to figure out the price because they're going to want a first rounder for their first rounder, and I'm not giving up a top three pick for them.
I heard a couple people yesterday making the suggestion that it would be a second and a fourth. Can I interest you in a second and a fourth?
Can I do like a second this year and a fourth next year?
Yeah, I'm sure you could divvy them up whatever way you wanted. Questy's going to be that.
Then if you got a number one pick, then I'd feel more comfortable trading down, getting a couple extra picks and restocking.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure Schefter said a first round pick.
He said first in some.
Yeah, I heard a lot yesterday, and everyone that I was hearing from was saying second and fourth in that regard.
In fairness,
who knows? It's all hypothetical.
Yeah, in fairness, trying to pinpoint that right now feels a little futile. But yeah, I mean, if you said what's a better plan going for next year, JJ and still having the number one pick, or Cam Ward, and that being your number one pick, whether it's the 1, 2, or 3 pick, yeah, I'd probably go J.J. McCarthy. But again, to get back to what you say, I do think Kevin should have, I always think the head coach should have 100% say. If you're the offensive coordinator, if you're here because you're the head offensive coordinator,
mm-hmm.
as opposed to the head coach, I think you should. But Kevin has given me a little bit more doubt than some others that he's going to be able to land the plane on that. And I can tell you that automatically starts to chip away, even if I like the idea like J.J. McCarthy.
But again, you're living with that doubt. But if you were in charge of the team right now, Stefanski wouldn't be here. They're not living with that same doubt. That's why he's still here.
Oh, I don't think teams ever have 100% certainty in coaches or anything. I think you always have doubts. Until a guy wins a Super Bowl or until you have 3 or 4 or 5 or 7 straight winning seasons, like I think sometimes we overplay of it's 100% one way or another.
That's fair.
So but getting back to it, like, yeah, I can here's the thing. I can absolutely see the merits of just about anything, even if you truly think Cam Ward and Shador Sanders are going to be a franchise quarterback, even doing that atop the draft. I'm not as sold on any of those guys. Like, even J.J. McCarthy, when I watched him in Michigan, I didn't think a franchise quarterback. I thought he was a really nice quarterback. I could understand.
Yeah, well, and the conversation with him, even though he's wildly accurate and he was 27-1 at Michigan and won a title and everything attached to it, was that it was a pretty perfect situation for him.
Well, and in the second half of that season, and now J.J. was hurt. Got to mention that. J.J. was also hurt last year, hurt this year.
Which is a part of the combo, too.
I will say the best Michigan played was when they were ground and pound and taking care of the football, and it wasn't J.J. throwing the ball around the yard.
Oh, yeah.
Now, listen, by the way, Iowa State protected Brock Purdy and never let the guy throw. He went to the NFL and was throwing like 40 times a game as a rookie. So, like, I understand that just because maybe that's not how your team won in college doesn't stop you from doing that. But, yeah, I mean, I of all the scenarios on how price depending and of all the scenarios on how can you get back to and get close to sustained winning starting next year, I think JJ's as much of a chance. And listen, I don't know that that means you win, quote unquote, next year with JJ. You might be a 7 or 8 win team. That's okay.
Yeah, he might need some time to grow and develop.
If you got a young quarterback,
but it's a real plan.
You know,
Nick,
who it is? It's the Drake May thing. It is the idea of if you're in New England right now and you can have a top three pick coming out of this year and Drake May, even if you're still a little on the fence about Jerod Mayo, even if you're a little on the fence about some of the others, you're looking at this saying, we found the franchise quarterback.
And now he
just needs to play.
Right, and that's the whole goal.
Like, that is the one thing. I thought we were incredibly patient, fans were, with Baker, right?
Mm-hmm.
Until they weren't. But that became about expectations. That was about the organization and not Baker. I digress. But my point was, like, fans every year were like, nah, this is Baker's year. And it took 3 years to actually be Baker's year. So I think fans will show you. If you draft a guy or if you trade for a young guy and he shows you, he just shows you glimmers.
Well, let's be honest. Yeah, Baker did that in the halftime of the Jets game on Thursday night in his very first game.
Yeah, I mean, if you just get glimmers. Like
that was enough for everybody.
That is the ultimate scenario. The problem is you just got to make sure you take the right one. I think give me J.J. McCarthy over Shador or Cam Ward. Again, price dependent. I'm not giving up a first and. I'm not doing that.
Right, but I think we've settled on this in the right way.
Yeah.
I mean, when I talk about Shador and Cam, it's not like I talk about them like I'm like infatuated with them. Not the same way I would be with JJ. JJ brings that brings real hope there. But I do love the idea of putting a lot of this on Stefanski's plate. And again, we're never going to find it out. That's not going to be something that we're going to be privy to because it's not how they operate over there. But I do love the idea of behind closed doors has them being like, hey, Barry, you're not in this one. Yeah. Stefanski, this one's on you. And then they get to really find out.
Yeah, but I think, and here's the other thing. I also think I'm like a lot of people. I think they're both a little bit overrated. I think Kevin, because of the two coaches of the year, is massively overrated. But if we're saying, who do you want to pick the next quarterback for the Cleveland Browns? Yeah, I don't want Andrew Berry near it. But honestly, I don't think it's smart. In fairness, we can draw back to the Baker thing. The GM decided the quarterback. And that's because he saw, he being John Dorsey, saw Ted Thompson and before him Ron Wolf decide Brett Favre and then decide Aaron Rodgers.
Well, and to be fair to John Dorsey, he decided a guy named Patrick Mahomes, and that worked out pretty well in Kansas City.
And so, but I would prefer in this case, especially with my even more limited trust in Andrew than I have in Kevin, yeah, it'd probably be Kevin. If this is going to be the thing going forward, I think it makes, because here's the thing, that might be the one out you can give him. If Kevin voiced any sort of issues about restrictions or whatever, reservations about Deshaun, it probably was, they didn't really fit my system. Same thing with Baker, honestly, in taking over the job. Like, yeah, square peg, round hole kind of thing. 216-474-0092. Let's go with, where you want to go here?
Let's go to Eddie.
Eddie in Westlake, welcome to the show, buddy. What you got for us?
Hey, what's going on? Hey, I hear what you guys saying about letting Kevin Stefanski, but you know what? Let me tell you. I mean, I don't know. I guess, you know, I think differently about this. I mean, I think more highly of Andrew Berry than I do of Kevin Stefanski, just for the simple fact that at the very least, Andrew Berry, I don't care what, okay, they had a few cornerstones, maybe 2 to 3 on each side of the ball prior to him coming in. But 3 of these 5 years he's been here, we've been talking about these rosters are top 5 rosters. So, I mean, you know, you can't coach the team, too.
Yeah, let me finish in a second, buddy, because I wanted to rebut a specific point. Now going on 3 of those 5 seasons, we've talked about a top 5 roster, and they've not been a top 5 team. So it's proven that maybe the rosters weren't that good.
So, wait a minute. That's not just the people in Cleveland. That's nationally. So maybe the national people got it wrong, too, because they were always talking about our depth and, man, the Browns don't have any weaknesses, this, that, and the other. But yet, when you take Kevin Stefanski, if you take out a COVID year that we went to the playoffs where it was all them other different restrictions, and then take out a year where we had a historically all-around best defense in the history of the NFL, you take them 2 seasons out, you know, sign me up for Kevin Stefanski as my offensive coordinator. As my head coach, taking care of all these other dynamics of being a head coach, not so much. You know, I mean, you know, we say that if Kevin Stefanski got fired, he'd have a job. Yeah, he'd have an OC job yesterday. But would he have a head coaching job if he got fired today? I don't think so. I'm sorry, I don't think so. But I'm looking at these rosters, and I'm telling you now, Andrew Berry has struggled in on the offensive side of the ball, particularly in the draft. But, man, these defensive players between this draft and these trades, you know, he's money. So, I mean, I don't know.
Jordan Elliott? Is it Jordan Elliott?
Did he take Jordan Elliott?
Well, yeah, what about Perrion Winfrey?
Did he take Jordan Elliott? Jordan Elliott was here for 15 years. Jordan Elliott was John Dorsey. I mean, it was John Dorsey,
No, Jordan Elliott was year one. Jordan Elliott was 2020.
Was 2020 their first year?
Yeah.
Oh, well, then that Jordan Elliott was a bad pick. You're naming one pick, but you're talking about all these trades. All I know is the
National. What about Ricardo LeCount?
Who?
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, what draft was he in, a sixth round? I mean, you're going to all these big. Listen, man, all I'm trying to tell you is if the national people are saying 3 out of 5 years you've been here, you have a top five roster. You got to coach the roster too. So you're expecting Andrew Berry to draft it, to put the people on the roster and then coach it too?
What about Greg Newsom?
Greg Newsom. I'm lukewarm on Greg Newsom, but Greg Newsom is if they traded him today, they could get a probably maybe a high third or maybe a two for him, but they can get a three for sure.
In what world?
I don't know.
Hey, we are up against it, buddy. Sorry to cut you off. We got to run. No, not a chance in hell.
What world is that happening?
No. It's okay.
They wouldn't give you the chlorine to then throw Rodney McLeod in the pool. I didn't mean to call him that. I've never called him that before. I don't know why that came out.
It's a Nick Wilson malapropism.
Rodney McLeod.
Yeah. The real feelings are coming out.
I've never called him that before.
How much of a say should Stefanski have in the quarterback position going forward? Mike, Tony, Tommy, you guys next. And a bit of breaking news on the Cavs-Mavs game tonight next on 92.3 The Fan. The quarterback situation going forward, Ryan on Twitter saying that the Browns should literally let Stefanski choose the quarterback without restriction.
Hey, football fans, for those of you who can't get enough Baldy's breakdowns, be sure to subscribe to Brian Baldinger's The Best Football Show. New episodes drop Monday through Friday where Baldy breaks down the best games of the week. Be sure to subscribe to The Best Football Show on the Odyssey app or wherever you find your podcasts.
Actions. In parentheses, without reasonable financial constraints. This will tell us if KS knows what he's doing, AB knows what he's doing, 3, we have the quarterback, and 4, it's some other issue that needs addressed. I do think the elephant in the room is just, I don't know what's going to impact this team more. Going to a new quarterback, so literally having any other quarterback than Jameis, DTR, Bailey Zappi, or Deshaun as your starting quarterback?
Yeah.
Or just going back to the offense that Kevin is most comfortable with?
To me, it's going to be getting a new quarterback.
Because I got to be honest with you, I kind of feel bad for Jameis, that Jameis came here to run the Stefanski offense.
Yeah.
And then, like, he was clearly comfortable in some of the spread concepts they used.
By the way, it's something he told us in training camp.
Yeah, well, he also said
people acted yesterday like it was some big news, but he mentioned that in training camp repeatedly.
So he also said it with us when he appeared on the show after signing.
I believe it.
But so what's interesting about it is, though, I kind of feel bad for Jameis.
Wow.
That he's another fall guy.
Listen, Jameis was always going to throw those interceptions. It didn't matter one way or another.
But he was delivered from pick sixes. Yeah. He didn't throw another pick six after it.
Yeah, I'm sure.
The prayers were answered.
It was always going to happen.
But you have to figure.
Nice that we feel that way towards him.
Think about it. Joe Flacco was able to mitigate them for some amount of time. Playing in this offense, when it was Kevin Stefanski's offense, Joe Flacco and Jameis Winston are very similar players when it comes to no risky, no bisky, and disastrous interceptions.
And that was the downfall of Joe, right? Two pick sixes in the playoff game alone.
Did want to throw out quickly, Kyrie will not play tonight. I can't remember if Jake said in his 2020s. My brain is not working. So he is now listed out with an illness, so no Kyrie tonight. The Cavs were 7-point favorites before that, so we'll see if the line grows a little bit. But the question we're asking you guys is whether Kevin Stefanski should have the say. I like that. The say. And who plays quarterback for the Browns next year? Let's go. Wait, you choose.
Mike.
Mike and Stowe, welcome to the show, buddy.
Nice. What did I win there? Jake did mention it, by the way, Nick. He did mention that.
Son of a gun. It was a great 2020, yeah. Jake. You did
nice job, Jake.
Maybe your best I've ever never heard.
He's on it. So, look, I'm going to disagree a little bit. Number one, I'm more concerned about a guy coming off an injury. I know he had a nice little burst in the preseason last year. McCarthy, we're speaking of course. But, you know, it's just we're going to need more than a quarterback to rebuild this team. You know, like I've mentioned before in a couple previous calls, you know, we're up against salary cap. And it's getting any easier. We're signing deals that are kicking that can forward. So we're going to still have that rock hanging over our heads, you know, for years to come. I don't want Andrew Berry having anything to do with the next pick of this guy. But what I hate is if we pick Stefanski to pick it and it's bad, that means Andrew Berry sticks around for a few more years doing terrible draft picks. Sorry, Eddie, I don't know what you're talking about.
No, I mean, Mike, I think they're like a package deal. They're Bert and Ernie. If Stefanski's gone, Berry's gone too.
I want to think that. Everybody says that, but it's most often it's the case. But I wonder if, like I've said this before, the owner knows who made the call on Deshaun. They probably both talked about it, but I'm sure it originated, as I told the screener. It came to originate with a call that came to Andrew Berry. So if he didn't like the idea, he should have killed it. So he's got to own most of it, no matter whose idea it became.
Or Mike, I can't believe this. You don't like the Tommy Togi I pick? You don't want more of that?
No.
You don't want more of the Jacob Phillips pick? What are we talking about here, friend?
The previous color sticking up for a guy you can't even tell you these guys because nobody knows them because they haven't stuck. The best guys on this team are still guys that Dorsey picked.
You know what's funny about that? Real quick, Mike, we appreciate you, buddy. You know what's funny about that? I've watched like four 49ers games this year. Jordan Elliott has blocked field goal kicks in two of them. I'm like, wait, where was that here? What? And I don't know. I have no idea how he's actually playing in general because I haven't followed up on it. But every time I look up, it's like, oh, yeah, Jordan Elliott just blocked another field goal. I'm like, what the hell?
I just can't believe you went after esteemed Buckeye Tommy Togi.
Listen, there's still time for Tommy. And you know what? Perrion, if he just stops doing all the wrong things, maybe one day, CFL legend, Perrion Winfrey, who knows?
How do we feel about adult Tommies?
What?
Adult Tommies.
Oh, I heard different. Sorry.
What'd you hear?
You said adult commies. I'm like,
That's a left turn. Yeah, adult Tommies is a left turn. That's
yeah. Adult Tommies sounds like the worst like punk band name ever, but it's like pop punk.
Who are you seeing tonight? The Adult Tommies.
Yeah. It's like, who's opening for Good Charlotte? I believe it's the Adult Tommies. Yeah.
Haven't heard of them. They're great.
I don't know. So my grandpa's a Tom. So,
hey, you were saying band names with Menigan earlier today, and I genuinely thought you guys were just making things up.
Yeah, I mean, that you could literally do that with any, like, honestly, there's so much music out there. Like, Shaboozy, and I've known of Shaboozy now for a full year.
Yeah, one song has made him like $10 million is what they project.
And all he had to do was rip off somebody else's song.
I know, it's not even like an original.
One.
Yeah, he just,
very
yeah,
upset.
Yeah.
Also, who chooses the stage name Shaboozy?
That's a cool name.
How is it cool?
It's like, are you talking about being a booze hound? But then you're like a show thing. It kind of reminds me of, it's like is he Shaggy? Is he Shadaisy? I don't know what he is, but I kind of like it.
It's just because you like Shadaisy. Just be honest. This all goes back to Shadaisy with you.
It always goes back to Shadaisy.
Hey, what about Thunderclap?
I think that's why you don't like it, is because of Shadaisy.
I don't think Thunderclap works. What about Lightning Feet? No. How about Shaboozy? All right, let's go.
See, even when you said it, doesn't it sound like a splash of fun?
No, it sounds like if anybody self-applied the nickname of Shaboozy where I came from, they'd get the crap kicked out of them.
You said it like an Instagram thought is why you believe that. You're like, Shaboozy.
Yes, it does sound like an Instagram thought. Absolutely. Shaboozy, it's one of the Real Housewives of some other dumbass place. That's what it sounds like. It doesn't sound like a man, like a real man, like a country artist.
Shaboozy does kind of sound like a drink you would order that somebody made up, and you're like, I don't know. I don't know.
I'll tell you what it sounds like.
Some of those Shaboozies last night.
It sounds like the thing you'll like whisper to the bartender. I'll have a sex on the beach, please.
Can I get a Shaboozy?
Yeah, can I get a double Shaboozy?
On the rocks?
It also sounds like a bit of an act. Some sort. It's a Friday night. People are driving home. It sounds like a specific kind of act.
Oh, yeah. We did the Shaboozy.
Yeah. You go to like the Bunny Ranch. I'll have the Shaboozy. I was thinking about the number 12, but I've been eyeballing the Shaboozy
like
now.
You go to the Bunny Ranch, you look at the menu, and you're like, what is a Shaboozy?
Yeah.
I don't know what that is.
Hey, Abner. Welcome to the show.
Hey, Abner. Gentlemen, listen, guys. I have two questions, not even a question, a statement, and I have a question, but it's a little off topic. It's about the MVP race, but let's get to business, all right? First and foremost, should we draft a quarterback in this draft, and should we let it up to Stefanski? Let me tell you something. There's no quarterback in this draft that makes me roll my eyes, but you know who does next year? Arch Manning or Drew Aller, the hometown sweetheart. Let me tell you, I got some insider trader information on Drew Aller. I have a buddy. I'm not going to say his name. He went to Medina High School with him.
Is it Drew Aller?
Drew Aller, yes. Medina High School. And he said he really wants to play for the Browns. I'm not going to say his name. I'll leave it at that. Let's trade down the pick.
Is it Diego?
Excuse me?
Is it Diego?
No, it's not Diego. I'm not going to say his name.
Is it Roger? I'll say the name. You just say yes or no. Is it Mike?
Okay.
Is it Shaboozy?
Nope. It's Shaboozy. He got it. Shaboozy.
Oh.
All right?
That guy writes terrible songs that he rips off from other people and wants Drew Aller.
And then I got a question. I got a question I want to ask you guys because I got called ridiculous. So I have a buddy. No, I have multiple buddies that said the MVP is Josh Allen. But then they said this, not including Mahomes, they said Josh Allen is in a tier by himself and that he's way, to quote them, way, way better than Lamar Jackson and Joe Burrow. I completely disagree. I think they're all in the same tier, excluding Mahomes. They're all in the same tier. And know that Josh Allen is not way, way better than Joe Burrow or Mahomes. Or, excuse me, Joe Burrow or Lamar Jackson. I want to hear your thoughts because you guys are professionals.
Wow.
We just talk. We just fiddle around. You guys are the professionals.
We spend people,
and you're the professional. Nick Wilson, you're the professional, right? I want to hear your opinions, right, guys?
All right. Thanks, Abner.
New Year's, right?
We love you
too, buddy. Yeah. You too. And here's the thing. People are always like, I wonder what those guys are thinking.
Yeah, how professional was
We never make it clear.
How professional was our 5 minutes on Shaboozy and Shadazy?
I think it's maybe the best. Put that stuff for the Marconi. I'll tell you right now, that's going to get us the first Marconi in station history.
And then I'm going to make you do a speech.
Yeah. And then
do the Atkinson thing. I'm just going to say speech long enough until you give a speech.
One, I want to thank my Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, for helping us win this Marconi. Two, I want to thank our show, this show and the station. You guys, I couldn't do without. Now, we got to get to the real issue here. What the hell is a Shaboozy? I mean, let's just be real honest here. Any man who self-applies the nickname Shaboozy is just not all there for me. So somebody tell that guy to change his name. Thank you again to the good Lord here. Thank you again to the staff. I'm out. Bam.
Standing applause?
Yeah.
Round of ovation? Standing applause didn't sound funny. It sounded funny to me.
So does a round of ovation.
Well, it was the beginning of a Rihanna song is what it is.
Man, Shaboozy. Daryl Ryder, next on 92.3 The Fan.